Okay, good morning. So today's story is actually not one of the more well-known ones. I don't think it was written up anywhere. Typically, stories would be like very famous ones. People spoke them very often, or they're written up. This is a story I haven't really heard people say that often. It's not written up, as far as I can tell, in any of the Spaden or any of the books. But to me, it's my favorite story. And also, probably, it's the story that had the greatest impact upon my life. So let me tell you what the story was, the setting, and then how it emerged in my life, and you'll get the power of a story and how it lasts with people and shapes people. So it was around 1988, and we were in Yeshiva, and the first intifada broke out. This was not an intifada of bombings and terror. This was an intifada of a lot of protests and stone throwing. So it was a very different feel, but the army needed massive manpower. So in order to meet, because there were protests in all the Palestinian villages, all these villages had large-scale protests, common protests, throwing stones. So you just needed a lot of protest, riot control. It wasn't heavy army military work, but it was riot control. So the yeshiva drafted all the Hezder guys back into the army. In those days, you did your army service in split service. You went for a year to yeshiva, I think, then a year to the army, then 6 months back in yeshiva, then 6 months back in the army. It was just a different split, I forget exactly, but by the time you and your Shana Dalit or so, you finished your service, and you were back in yeshiva more or less the same way it is today, that those last 2 years. And they took all those boys back to the army. So it was very frustrating. It was very annoying to have already been in the army twice, been released from the army, and now you got to go back in, and it was Erev Pesach. So Erev Pesach was very depressing for the boys because they would not be able to keep a Seder, to have a proper Seder. They have to have a quick shotgun Seder in the army. So you could tell there was a palpable sense of depression in the yeshiva. It was really, you could feel it. It was, as I said, palpable. So Atish Rav Amitel told us the following story. He said, when I was in a concentration camp, I didn't have Shabbos. I think they let us keep Shabbos. I think they let us even behave differently on Shabbos. Shabbos is a regular day. So I had no way to mark Shabbos. So I had a little white shirt that I kept with me throughout all the concentration camps. And every Erev Shabbos, I would fold that white shirt, put it into my pocket, go out and join the work detail, work however many hours we were working. They work well past sunset. And when sunset came, I would slither off to the side, whatever, making believe I was tending to my needs, whatever we would do. We'd take a minute off to the side and put on a white shirt and be Makabel Shabbos, and then go back to work. And then, no choice, but at least that was his Kabbal Shabbos. And he said, you, in your lives, your Shabbos is diffuse. He didn't use this word, obviously. But part of you, you feel part of your Shabbos through the songs you sing, and part of your Shabbos through the food you eat, and part of the Shabbos through the family you spend time with, part of Shabbos. My entire Shabbos was concentrated in that white shirt, and I felt it so deeply. And why was he telling the story? He was telling the Chayalim who were going to be in the army for the Seder. He says, normally your Seder is 4, 5, 6 hours long, family, story, Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. You're going to have a 15-minute Seder. It's going to be compact. It's going to be undernourished. You're not going to have all the resources you normally have. You have quick matzah, quick mara. But your entire Seder will be expressed with that 15 minutes. Just like my entire Shabbos was expressed with that white shirt, and you'll feel Hashem's presence. And you can feel, it's like magic in the room. You could feel that I had lifted all this worry and all this depression from the Talmidim by providing the following message. Here's my takeaway message. Sometimes you have everything you want for important days, Shabbos and Yontif, your family, your reading. But sometimes Hashem puts you into a situation where you don't have all the resources, human resources, material resources. And then you have to take whatever you have, concentrate on that, and allow that to stream all your emotion. And sometimes, ironically, the less you have, the more you have. He felt Shabbos so difficult, not just if he weren't in the concentration camp, not concentration, it's good to be in the concentration camp, but if he weren't, then it would have been an average Shabbos splintered across 15 or 16 different pressure points. But now there was a white shirt, and he felt Shabbos deeply through that white shirt, and now you're in the army, and you have a 15-minute Seder before you run out to patrol, and you have less, but in some ways you have more, and you just have to take stock of the resources you do have available, and concentrate on them and intensify those. Okay, so here's the story after the story. Some years back, my wife was very sick. Baruch Hashem, it was a very, very difficult moment for us and very emotionally charged. It wasn't a simple illness. And it's very quick, like there was a threat, and thank God we were able to overcome whatever illness she had, and thank God she was recovering in the hospital. It wasn't a long, drawn-out It was very quick, which means it was very sudden, and you're very overwhelmed emotionally. And I went to spend the hospital Shabbos with her in the hospital. And coming to Shabbos, coming to hospitals in Israel for Shabbos is a very, very eerie feeling. Because if you're in a hospital in Chutz Laaretz, it's a normal staff. Obviously, the Jews have food and candles. But in Israel, everyone's leaving Dodge City. Everyone's leaving. There's a skeleton staff for Shabbos, but essentially there's a mass migration. So when you're walking in at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, you feel the hospital's emptying out. It's like no one's there, but you feel that there's a tremendous shift, and it's a skeleton staff on Shabbos, and you feel it's Shabbos. And so here I am carrying a basket, literally the size of my hands. I'm going to carry, I have to walk through the parking lot, 2 pieces of fish, 2 pieces of schnitzel, 2 challahs, 2 cans of soda, and I'm walking into what I think is going to be a hard Shabbos emotionally, ghost town. And keep in mind, remember, in Israel, you don't have a hospital room. You have a hospital alley. Each room is divided 3 or 4, and there's a curtain that separates, and you literally have no room. You certainly can't sleep there. Your beloved, you know, your relative, you have to find somewhere else. It's not pleasant. It's not easy when you're sitting in the room reading books and reading newspapers, talking over Shabbos. So I walk into my wife's little cubicle. Not even a cubicle. It's not even separated by a wall. It's separated just by a curtain. People bang into you. I walk into your cubicle with my little puny basket of food, and there she is, having cleaned up her little area, holding a white flower that one of the nurses had given out to come around Erev Shabbos and give out flowers to people. Each person gets one flower. She looks at me, she says, gives me the flower, and she says, "This will be our white shirt for Shabbos." So 20 years after I told her that story for the first time, it stuck in her mind, and this was going to be, again, chas v'shalom, how could you compare Shabbos in the hospital in Israel to Shabbos in a concentration camp? But the structure was the same. There's going to be a challenge Shabbos. We're not going to have that much. It's going to be hard for us. But we'll invest in what we have, and we'll feel it in some ways even more deeply. So we both broke down crying, you know, remembering Rav Amital's story. And so that's the power of a story, is it creates associations that are very graphic and emotional. You put yourself into that person's shoes and you're able to feel what they felt in a way that sometimes abstract ideas have a harder time being as compelling. Okay? That's Rami Tal's white shirt. I don't see people talking about it that much, but to me it was a very, very powerful story. Okay? Tomorrow we'll see you, and then Thursday we'll get back to stories.